God directs and we choose. It's both at the same time. And you're never gonna reconcile those. I just want to point out that as often as you spend your time thinking about God's destiny for you, and he'll get you where you're going, and I know that in God's hand I'm safe and he's going to direct me, right? As much as you get that, eventually you get to this, should I get Frosties or just Frost or just Flakes? You know, how many minutes should I put on my cell phone? Which plan should I get? Should I get the 2-year contract? I don't know what the economy is going to be like. And then I'll be in, you know? You know how it goes. And those are just rich people problems. Some people are like, what crop will I plant that won't fail? Is it going to be a dry year or a wet year? You know? So we're comfortable. We're trying to figure all these things out. Nobody down here on the ground has ever sufficiently explained why or how it's both destiny and free will. The best description I ever had was from a guy who taught me in seminary, a fella named Chuck Smith, and he was a roly-poly granddad sort of a fella, and he would talk like this, and he said, on the one hand, you have the preordination of God, and on the other hand, you have free will, and he said, and they come together somewhere back here. And he leaned back on the chair and he just put his hands in his head. And I thought that that was a fitting metaphor, because where everything comes together, it's out of our sight. You don't get to deliberate with the 8 pounds of meat in your head and figure it out. But the scripture is clear. God is at work. And the scripture is also clear. You have to make decisions about it. And I don't know what God thinks, but I can know how God thinks. I can know who he is. I know what he says about me and many of the things in life. But ultimately, I have to make the decision. Am I going to get up and go to church on Sunday? Am I going to, as tax time comes, prepare early, finally, and not do it the day before the deadline to send it in digitally? Can I wait till then? Maybe also rich people problems. Are those the meatiest things in life? Will I get treatment now that the cancer has been removed? Is radiation enough? Should I go for chemotherapy? Should I keep it or let them cut it away? Big questions. God direct me. Should I quit my job? What should I do when I graduate high school? Where will I build my vocational direction in life? Huge, huge stuff. And how is God sovereign over all if we are called to choose, but he is directing? You have to feel the weight of this matter. And so Paul speaks to this in Romans. Did you get that last week? Because we talked about it, but I think it just goes right on by. And so the point of intersection between election, right, God choosing and God directing, choosing people he saves, and directing lives, the difference between election and free will, our choice to follow God or to not follow God, to seek his will, to pick direction that we believe pleases God in life, is this, right? We all have a choice with consequences. Yeah? We all have a choice with consequences. This is the free will. Now, the scripture tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Are you prepared to get it wrong? You need to reconcile yourself with the fact that you will, you do, you have gotten it wrong. Okay? So nobody's in a different boat in this room. Nobody's more testing positive with a terminal illness than another. There's probably degrees. There's probably extremity of consequences, and we all deal with different batch of them in our lives. But we all deal with that. And so there's that. We all have choices with consequences. That might be the bad news. And then God mercifully rescues some who he has chosen. And this is election. It's not everybody. I don't understand why God chooses what he chooses. He takes no pleasure in the punishment of the wicked. He desires that all people be saved. The scripture is that all men be saved. And I stammer at the word men because I want all the women in the room to know it includes you. And humanity and words and gender and ugh. God desires that no one miss it. He mercifully rescues some. And because the scripture says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Promise and good news. Now, a couple of just scriptures to back this up. 1 Samuel chapter 16, 7 says this, one verse, the Lord sees not as man sees, but man looks on the outward appearance, and God looks upon the heart. Now, that was when Samuel was trying to pick the next king of Israel, and he picked the first big, tall brother, and God said, that ain't it. So we think we can pick, you know? And maybe if you're in this room and you agree that Jesus died for your sin and he was buried and he rose again on the third day, there's forgiveness of sin in his name, you're going to see God in heaven. That is the thought of a person giving evidence that God has chosen them in eternity and is manifest in a decision that is a choice in present. But not because you're good, not because you're special, not because you had smarts and figured it out, not because you read your Bible more than the other one, but because somehow through the circumstances of life, you have made that decision. God knows why you don't, but you have. Wow. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 says this about the person who has decided to follow God. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, right? Nothing is too difficult for thee, as the song goes. Psalm 95 says this, oh, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Right? For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, just the sheep of his hand. Just the sheep of his hand. Psalm 95. That's a mission praise one if you don't know it. Today, Psalm 95, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. As at Meribah, on the day of Massa in the wilderness, the people rebelled against Moses. When your fathers put me to the test, says God, and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work, people who passed through the Red Sea, like a wall on either side, people who saw Pharaoh destroyed when he set himself against God, the same people hardened their heart to God. And have you seen God work? And do you know he's true? And do you disobey and rebel and resist? Of course you do. These people did it too. And in Psalm 95, God says, for 40 years, I loathed that generation. I said, there are people who go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. And therefore, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And so there is this thing about people who say, I believe in God, but who don't follow God. There are these people who say, I know that God is real, and don't follow God. There are people who say, hallelujah, he parted the seas. We are special people. God picked us, not the Egyptians. God picked the Baptists, not those, whatever. Right? But it's a problem, and it's a nervous problem, because we're like, we are it, they are not, and God says, I am it, and you are not. Follow me. Stick with me. I'll get you through it.
Now, I just read, nothing can separate us, yes, and I also read, God said, I swear my wrath that you will not come in.
And as there's another tension. There's another tension. Will I always stay stuck once I pin, not tail to the donkey, I pin my star to the Lord when I hang my hat on the peg? When I say I am in and I am with God, and God says, you're with me if you're with me. And if you're with me, stick with me. Are you with me? This is the stuff.